On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Check it out. I forgot to turn our mics on. Welcome to Audio Whiplash on the Tall Can Audio Podcast Network. Rob over there.
Hey.
Matt over here. Check us out. All the shows. Audio Whiplash, Unforced Errors, Tall Can Sports. It's all over at tallcanaudio.com. Give us a follow on Twitter. Are you ever getting back on Twitter? Are you just done with that?
Yeah, as soon as I can. I've deleted the app.
And now you can't remember how to sign in.
And I can't remember how to sign in. But at shit just keeps coming to me. It says, hey, Captain Blowhard, check this out. And I'm like, I'm not even on Twitter. And I can't get back on.
At Tall Can Audio on Twitter, facebook.com/tallcanaudio. We got a new setup on the Patreon because it had been neglected a little bit. Patreon.com/tallcanaudio. How you doing, man?
I'm looking at ordering Chinese food post-show.
Nice. Chicken bao.
Yeah, no, I don't go in for the chicken bao.
What is your go-to Chinese order then?
Cantonese chow mein, shrimp guy ding.
Bang ding ow.
Yeah, bang ding ow.
Wow, way too low.
Yeah, exactly. Hung like budgie.
Oh, that last one's got one too many. Hung like budsy.
Oof.
Nope.
No need for lubrication. Because I'm bringing my own grease.
Gross.
I'm well. Listen, man.
Okay.
You reading anything these days?
Nothing. I am reading Blood Feud by Adrian Dater.
Adrian Dater, Blood Feud. I don't know, man. Help me out.
The late 90s, early 2000s war between the Detroit Red Wings and Colorado Avalanche.
Way to branch out, sports guy.
Hey, sports guy.
It's a big world out there, eh?
Nah.
Okay.
What do you got to judge, man? I like what I like and you like what you like.
Yeah. But diversity, my friend. It's
Dr.
growth.
Seuss or something in your fucking library?
Yeah,
or...
clearly I am a...
What are you reading?
I've taken down in the past month, I've taken down 3-Day Road.
Okay.
Which is delightful. Flight of Dreams, which I think I referenced on a previous show.
Flight of Dreams you did mention earlier.
Right, which was the Hindenburg.
Right. That was on our third anniversary show with Jill McSween.
Right. And so I am now in the midst of taking down.
It's like Titanic, but in a blimp.
Kite Runner.
It's like Speed 2, but on a
Khalid Hosseini, which is, to me, I'm about halfway through it, and it's fascinating. Kite Runner. Khalid Hosseini.
Give us a little more, man. What's.
So it takes place in Afghanistan, the early part.
Yeah.
He's born in the sort of early 60s, right? Pre-Soviet invasion of Afghanistan,
right.
Pre-Islamic State Afghanistan, right?
Pre-Mujahideen. I know it's a serious thing.
Afghanistan.
But it's a fun word. Mujahideen.
Yeah.
I know it's supposed to be.
And I think.
Which basically just means like the People's Army or something, I believe.
So it's an interesting, like everything you think you know about some place in the world and you really have no idea.
Well, that could be anywhere.
Yeah, that could be three blocks away from here. Just in terms of what a proud country it is, Afghanistan, right? And we all think of it as poppies and terrorist homeland, and that's about it, right? This sort of the Pashtuns and
place a 100-and-some-odd Canadian soldiers went to die.
Right. No, but I'm talking about the history of the country.
I'm just, when you say what people think of when you say Afghanistan.
Yeah. But, and again, you know, God bless those soldiers and all that. I'm just saying in terms of what it was before the early 80s.
Right.
Which when it became a sort of a religious dictatorship.
Yep.
Yeah, just a proud, proud race of people, right? Fierce warrior nation, right? They withstood the British for 150 years before the Russians went in there and were unable to do anything. Anyways, the Kite Runner, and I think it's sort of semi-autobiographical by Khalid Hosseini, and he is not of that sort of ilk, right? And what it's like to grow up in that country as not a fierce Afghani Pashtun kind of guy, right? So very interesting. And so I know you, and I was jokingly, you read a lot of different stuff too. You have some historical stuff and yeah. That's always my bend, my lean, right?
Right.
But, I'm a voracious reader. I love to take stuff down. So I was just wondering off the top of the show what you had going on, but clearly.
Not much right now, man.
Sports guy, get out of the sports page, man. It's a big world.
This past Sunday, I'm going to run a name past you and see what comes across. As a Peterborough guy and then a longtime Ottawa guy, when I say the name Andy Frost, anything?
Andy Frost. He's a radio guy?
Yep.
That's what I got.
Okay. So from around 99, when the Leafs moved into Air Canada Center, he was the PA guy, took over from Paul Morris.
Leafs goal scored by him.
Became the big, deep voice, right, that replaced that. But for much longer than that, was the host of Psychedelic Sundays on Q107. Q107, for those not familiar, a longtime classic rock station in Toronto, started up in 77, toyed around with a few different formats before settling into classic rock.
And has been the go-to for classic rock since the early to mid-80s, for sure.
Yeah, and up until actually only like 2015, 2016, and then they started moving into more general rock as Edge 102, which had been the rock station, became more of an alternative station. And so the whole thing has kind of fallen apart. But for a long time, every Sunday afternoon, noon to 6 for the last, for as long as I can remember now, was Andy Frost hosting Psychedelic Sundays. And it was all, we had it on here the other day, and basically anything from 65 to 75 qualified.
Terrible.
And before that, when it was more of a hardcore classic rock station, they would branch out a little harder into what you would think of, right, when you think of psychedelic.
It was, lava lamps.
Right. And so the
pot
type of
smoking, PCP.
There was a ton of Neil Young. There was a ton of Led Zeppelin, right?
Doors. Gotta give me
the
some
Doors was absolutely involved and a big part of
Strawberry Alarm Clock.
So this past Sunday was Andy Frost's last broadcast for Q107, and it was the last Psychedelic Sunday, and it kind of came out of nowhere. Like, they announced it on like Wednesday.
You overstayed your welcome, Andy.
Well, it feels that way a little. But in terms of the audience online anyway, there was a lot more talk of love you, Andy, and if this is you retiring, you know, best wishes. But if this is Q107 getting rid of you, fuck Q107, right? There was this weird tie to...
Well, it's always the way.
Right.
What is this? What's happening here?
Yeah.
Corporate reshuffling? Screw the man!
Well, and like some of these names, I'm sure, like Scruff Connors or John Derringer, like Q107 for a long time, they had they were the first.
Rock and roll hoochie coo?
Rock and roll hoochie coo.
That's John Derringer, I think.
No. Rick Derringer is who you're thinking
yes.
of. Yeah.
Yes, it is. appearing at Casino Rama with Rick Emmett of Triumph.
Man, anytime now. They had, John Derringer was the morning host there for a long time. They had Jesse and Gene, which was a Canadian staple in terms of morning comedy shit. First Canadian station to bring on Howard Stern. Q107 was a big deal. And as they've kind of morphed into this general rock, like it used to be Toronto's classic rock, and then it was Toronto's rock, and now it's Toronto's hits and classic music,
like soon to be
Toronto's
light rock
gone. It's yeah. Like it's gotten ugly, and it's just one of those things that I wanted to give a quick shout out to Andy Frost as he signs off for the last time, because for a lot of us, and I will never stand here and say that as a teenager, as a guy in my 20s, I was a big classic rock guy. But you'd come home at 2:30 in the morning after ripping beers all night and going out somewhere, pass out with Q107 on, and wake up to Psychedelic Sunday. And I think for a lot of us, in terms of GTA kids, that was sort of the outside of the Leafs announced thing, was what you knew Andy Frost was, this thing you woke up to on Sunday that kind of soothed
electric
the
circus.
Headache. Right? No, that's Electric Circus. Live to air from the Phoenix or something, yeah, on Edge 102. Yeah, knock.
Yeah, all right.
It's it. What is it?
Oh, it's it, baby. It's it. There's more of the baby, and this is multiple shows in a row, I think, with...
Shout out to Andy Frost.
Shout out.
Off on
and you too, Andy Petrillo.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Sorry about that.
Just kind of... thinking about Andy Petrillo for a second there.
That shot with her in the background.
Yeah, always, man.
Probably facing in the other
the
direction.
Wrong way. Like, they put
you're
the
looking the wrong way.
Her.
Oh, all right.
It's a fake camera over there. She's looking at doing her thing while they...
Yeah.
I'm so glad I learned to edit.
Yeah, eyes glazed over there. Hey, you want a moment?
At least... two or three moments.
Yeah, you know, all right. Can you let
look
me know?
Look at this guy.
I can leave the room here, and I'm not wearing any shoes, so.
So I had myself a Twitter battle this morning with Lori Goldstein of the Toronto Sun.
Okay.
You familiar with that name?
Sure.
No, or should you be? Lori Goldstein, as most of the Toronto Sun has become... basically worse than The Rebel. It's kind of this right wing, at the moment, Doug Ford supporting bullshit. And essentially, I'm paraphrasing, the tweet that Lori threw down was, the people that are shitting on Doug Ford's buck a beer plan. Have you seen that?
No, I have not, but I am intrigued.
Okay. So that's Doug Ford's newest thing, as they find themselves just barely trailing the NDP at this point.
Neck and neck, I saw.
In the Ontario election. We'll go back to a buck a beer, which is pathetic pander. It's kind of like running for student council president and promising no more homework,
sloppy Joes.
No more homework and no more sloppy Joes. Extra long recess, right? And especially as a conservative government who's running on the fact that there's no money left. There's only one way to make beer cheaper, and that's cutting the tax off of it. So I'm not sure what. So Lori Greenberg, his stance, Lori Greenberg. I think that's a road here in Ottawa.
It is.
Lori Goldstein. Other Jewish sounding words. His stance was that you can't shit on Doug Ford's buck a beer policy without shitting on the NDP's policy of cheaper pharmacare and dental care and child care and tuition.
No, I don't see those two the same
at all. Of course you don't. You have a brain in your fucking head. You can't equate cheap beer with healthcare and education.
Is Larry Goldstein suggesting that those in the top tier of income tax are going to support my beer habit?
Well, and so...
Because I could talk about that.
That'd be awesome.
If you make over $85,000, you need to contribute to
you
those...
need to buy me beer.
This is it.
Patreon.com/TallCanAudio.
25% off at the beer store. Just bring your T4.
And yeah. Wow. Imagine that lineup. I don't. It's that's, over here.
That's right. I'm back to that spot where the guy's like, 240? Can I put $1.30 on my debit card and $1.10 in cash? Can I do that?
Yeah, one tall boy Labatt Blue.
Loser. I wanted to hit him with a sock full of pennies.
That he could then pay for his beer.
Yeah, this is it.
Well, when he came to.
But I'm okay because I get the pleasure and I've already paid for my beer and moved on.
I get the pleasure.
I find that very satisfying.
And so the stance that Lori was taking was that it's the exact same thing as having people at Jane and Finch in Toronto pay for pharmacare and dental care and child care for people in Rosedale, which is a much nicer neighborhood than Jane and Finch, as are most neighborhoods in Ontario.
Yeah, that's odd.
It's bullshit. And I find myself...
Yeah?
The Doug Ford thing is the Donald Trump thing.
Okay, you and I talked about this, I don't know, when he won the nomination for the PC leadership. We said...
Big famous name, but no fucking plan.
Well, okay, and super blowhard, but a populist.
Oh, your new Twitter account. Super blown.
No, I'm going to tons of smug. That's what
love
I'm going
to. Love tons of smug.
But yeah, a populist guy who's going to say, hey, I care about you, middle to low income Canadian.
Beer or, drinker.
Yeah. Or whatever it is, right? We're gonna make, honestly, when you hear people say things like, we're going to make Ontario great again.
Right.
You're like, huh?
When did we stop being great?
Yeah, and that sounds scarily similar to...
Yep, something that's not going all that well, somewhere else.
It depends.
It does not.
Is well being I got elected?
Right.
Or does not well mean I got elected and I've shit in the bed ever since? Because to me, those are two different things.
True.
You want to get elected?
Say some stupid shit to some stupid people. I'll give you cheaper beer. Okay.
I'm going to bring jobs back to Sudbury.
You know you're not.
Okay, Sudbury.
Barry.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're going to...
S-E-D-B-E-R-R-Y.
Yeah.
Honestly, man.
Jesus Christ. So that's what you're getting. And to me, there's a... And obviously, I'm not the only guy. There's a direct comparison between the two. I'm going to talk loud. I'm going to be stupid as shit.
Yeah. Well, and that's like the Toronto Sun has become this unbelievably right wing. And like I said, I'm.
But it has been for 20 years.
Not like this, man. It's so. And like I said, I got
Peter Worthington, I think one of the founders of the paper.
I got Lori Goldstein quote tweeting me and more people coming in and liking and retweeting my tweet that he's captured than his that he's and that's his audience, like people that are,
well, because how many people do you think
follow him out of
I don't agree with your shit
and I'm gonna quote tweet it and look smart and well, just kind of what I did,
yeah. Right, or I'm gonna use you and right. Your stupid talk
right
to make me look like a genius.
So the Ontario provincial election now less than a week away, but I think we all agree that there's basically three garbage options right now. But I mean, it just to be having
at the NDP has to be loving this. I'm going to come up the middle on this.
I was sure, and I was speaking to someone last weekend. I was sure that what would end up happening was the Liberals and the NDPs would beat the shit out of each other and the PCs would win this in a cakewalk. That's sort of what always happens, right? The left splits itself. And if the right's going to win, that's how it happens. And it's just not.
Well, it's because the liberals need to stay in their lane. Hey, Europe centralist party, stay there.
Well, I think Kathleen Wynne at this point has Man, she hasn't done well, but the vitriol out there towards her is, they got no shot. So anyway, I just.
You've got no chance.
You can check out the debate between me and Lori Goldstein at Tall Can Audio on Twitter. It's a scene, man.
It's a scene.
Let's talk about something stupid.
Okay, but you going to talk about Donald Trump and his wish to block people who are...
I don't have a ton there, but I thought it was fascinating.
Okay, but it's a direct, to me, it's a segue off of what you're talking about.
Yeah, okay.
Which is that Doug Ford thing when you go, Trump, A, doesn't want to have the Secret Service or anybody else monitor his phones because he doesn't feel like he should be subjected to that breach of privacy. Oh, wait.
That everyone else is.
Yeah. Oh, and you're the president. And we'd kind of like to know what you're doing.
Well, and other government officials from both the Obama and Bush administrations have said that when they used to get back from China, they would have to hand their phones into the Secret Service and they would be destroyed because they were sure
somebody has bugged them.
Bugged them or monitored somehow. Like you'd have your account still, you'd get your contacts, but this phone, this hardware, we're done with that. That's gone. And Trump's had the same iPhone for for long.
And right? Two of them, right? Yeah. He's
got his private phone, which no president has.
Yeah. Yeah. And so all I'm saying is, and that to me is, and him wanting to block opponents of his, people who don't agree with him, he wants to block them.
And it's not just politicians, it's not just reporters, it's average Joes that repeatedly quote tweet him or reply to him and just say, why don't you just go play with your blocks there, Junior, right? Like, that just dumb him down to where he deserves to be. He wants to block them. And the Supreme Court has said that's unconstitutional. I can't imagine.
First Amendment.
Yeah.
Not the Fourth or the Fifth.
The very first.
The first thing you thought was important to put in your big old document.
I can't imagine any scenario where anyone who helped draw this document up thought it would ever apply to something as ridiculous as Twitter.
I don't think anybody who helped draw up that document thought there'd be somebody as ridiculous as Donald Trump in that position. Well, I think somewhere there's people going, I think it's time for you fuckheads to break off and start a new country somewhere else.
Oh, I absolutely think that might be the end game, but we're a ways away from that.
Who's got the chutzpah to get that shit going?
There's going to be a lot of people wanting to live in California here right shortly because that's going to be the first part to split. I think.
West Coast, baby.
9-9, baby.
On the grind, baby.
I can't imagine a president who uses Twitter this way and then a Supreme Court that has to say you can't block people because it's unconstitutional. It's a violation of their – like it's a weird thing that we've gotten to. But to me, if I just reply to every single tweet the president says with go fuck yourself – he probably should be able, and it's possible that happens. It's possible. I don't really have a problem with the idea that he might block me. That seems fair.
Every tweet replies with, go suck a cock.
Yeah, pretty much, man. I don't really have a problem with him blocking me at that point. I've probably earned that. It's getting a little homophobic, but, we're talking about the president blocking people as a constitutional issue. Like Twitter is now a thing that, I don't know.
It's so ridiculous.
But the year 2000 all the way back to the formation of the United States.
1776.
You never, ever, ever had a direct line to the president where he had to listen to each and every single, maybe you should have.
Take his phone away. How about that and you don't?
Right. But Obama had Twitter when he was on, when he was president.
But he didn't say, I'm taking a shit and I'm just tweeting out my 6 a.m. thoughts.
I think a lot of people would find Donald Trump's shit less offensive than what he actually tweets at this point. I just, there's something very odd.
I bet you they're orange like his hair.
Ugh. There's something very odd to me about the president First Amendment rights and Twitter all kind of falling into this one.
Twitter and
so
First Amendment
weird, man. It's so weird.
Are likely, they don't jive.
You don't necessarily deserve a direct line to the president. Now, as you've said, most presidents wouldn't sit there and respond to every single thing that was said on Fox News or on Twitter.
Right,
or,
and this is it. Most presidents don't care about Rosie O'Donnell or whatever.
Man, most people.
Yeah, although she was kind of hot as Betty Rubble.
What are you talking about? That's not true.
Not at all.
That was a terrible movie.
Not at all, actually.
Although John Goodman was terrific.
I think Rick Moranis played Barney. Am I right with that?
You are probably not. Goodman.
Check with Marc-Andre Fleury's goals against average and save percentage.
There was one other thing that I did send to you.
Natuki.
Natuki's version of the Bop It.
The Bop It.
Did your kids ever have a Bop It?
Nope. I don't even know what that is.
That's what this whole thing's based on.
Okay, so. I know. To me the thing is, yeah, once you can set up what a Bop It is.
Okay, so Bop It.
I bop, you bop, she bop, we bop. That's a Cyndi Lauper tune. I got that much. Clearly about masturbation, which absolutely... No, exactly. And I think our crack producer guy could probably put that under here too. I bop, she bop, but we bop.
I'm sure he'll lay it underneath. He's not going to try and sync it up to your bad fucking.
No, he's only human, right?
That's right. So Bop It was a toy in the 90s. You've all seen the commercials. Maybe producer guy will lay that in here as well.
Hey, want to play Bop It? Cool. It commands you obey.
Bop It. Twist it. Half it.
If you can't keep up.
Twist it.
You lose. Once you get your hands on Bop It, you're not going to want to stop it. Fast talking electronic Bop It. Batteries not included.
And it had shit on it. It was a handle that you would pull and then a thing you would twist.
See, butt
and then
plug
a thing
later.
You would hit and then... It was, you know, this toy. And so there has been an adult version put out. It had a dildo on one side, had a butt plug on another side. And my favorite part was, because in the article I sent you, and we'll share them all, it's All Can Audio on Twitter, facebook.com/talk.
Well, it's got a picture, which is the best.
But it also had a link to a more in-depth review and write-up of the product. And the dildo on the fucking thing appeared to be pointing the wrong way. and then they commented on this, like, one butt plug fits all, right? Like,
well, and then so on the right side, there's your what they called a fleshlight-like
right,
thing.
Yes.
And then on the other end of
gentlemen.
On the other end of it is this little vibrating
whatever
clitoris stimulator. Yeah. But you're like, you want somebody firing into that fleshlight while somebody else
at
is trying
to boom, 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 so boom, boom.
You're like, hey, cowboy.
Why don't you take it easy down there?
Simmer down.
Honestly.
And I want to say, you know, because you look at the picture and you're like, well, what's the actual dimensions of this? Because there's no way you're getting four people on that thing unless it's...
And it appears to be built for three women and one guy.
Very like Japanese. Very Japanese.
And, like, as you've said, like, how do you get... What is... Even if it was for two men and two women, like, how does your average card night turn into... Like, well, where do you find the other couple to play that?
As you said,
with?
There's the fleshlight thing.
Yeah.
Then there's the stimulator.
There's
the butt plug. And the dildo.
And the dildo. This is the part that keeps standing out. The dildo's pointed the wrong way. For the person using the butt plug on the other side, how am I supposed to get around? And you have to check this out at facebook.com/talkin.
I want to know what it's mounted to.
Like, no, it's like the Bop It, man. It's a team effort. Hold that shit in the middle. Like you said, the dimensions of this thing are not substantial enough. There's going to be uncomfortable
touching. Built for your smaller Asian market.
It looked, well, as you've said, it's built by like Nakutu or something. So probably.
Who I think have dealt with sex games, sex video games.
It's more video games.
And I think, and the article quoted, their big game was Cunt Wars. Are you serious? Can you eat the
top seller in Japan, man? Cunt Wars 2018, because it's an annual release. Much like MLB The Show.
Yeah. You're mad. Madden 2017.
It's in the game.
EA Sports. It's in the game.
I am confused by all of this.
Yeah. As you should be, man. So you're going to want to check this thing out. There's probably directions on how to order.
Well, and as the guy who wrote the article said, he goes, I'm looking at this. At 9 a.m.,
yeah,
I haven't finished my first coffee of the day, and this makes me question 90% of the decisions I've made in my life up until this point.
Well, it's like...
And you're reading this, so you should as well.
Right. Like, there's lots of these sorts of... Not these sorts, but lots of, like, Cards Against Humanity, right? Like, adult... But how do you get to a point where there's... Like, bop it, after you're done, you kind of turn it or pass it to someone. Is someone else going to turn and put the butt plug where you just finished using
it? Does it come with a steaming pot of hot water? Can we get that?
Some Javex or something? Like, fuck, man.
Wire brush.
That's on the other end.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah, no fun, man. Do you remember what it was called? I can't even remember what it was called. What, like, it should be the fuck it.
It was called the Bop It Like Fuck Toy.
That's what the article was called.
Was what I saw. I don't know what it's actually called.
You can probably wrap this up. Shout out to Andy Frost.
I think in the Japanese, it's Yamamoto.
Forgiveness.
That's clearly what you're saying when you show up with two couples.
Yeah, honestly.
Hey, I got to the fleshlight first. Oh, forgiveness.
And I'm not passing.
This is it.
The one-size-fits-all butt plug is, whew, man.
The one-size-fits-all butt plug. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's the name of the show.
That's Audio Whiplash.
See ya.
This one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.